Good morning, Union. These are our announcements for today. Sundays. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesday. The doors open at 5 and the classes begin at 5:30. Tithes and offerings and benevolent may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service, and as you exit the sanctuary. November announcements. November 2nd, Communion Sunday. November the 3rd, World Day of Prayer. November the 4th, Baptist Women World Day of Prayer, Women's Auxiliary. November the 8th, Men's Christian Growth Fellowship Meeting, Saturday at 11 a.m. November the 9th, Deacon, Wives, and Deaconess Annual Day. November the 11th, Wood River Executive Board Meeting. November the 12th, Fall Quarter Corporate Prayer Service at 5:30 p.m. Union 2026 Officers. All ministries that have officers are asked to please submit your 2026 officers to Mamie, the pastor secretary, no later than November the 12th. Hard copies of the election officer form are available in the church office. The election is also available online through the church website under ministry. November the 16th, get more on that in a minute. November the 20th, baptism. Annual church ministry. The announcing clerk ministry is preparing for the 2026 roster to prepare. Announcements are read each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please contact Alicia Duffy if you're interested in being a member of the announcement ministry. Sister Duffy can be reached at aduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, an email address, and your phone number. The UMB Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMB Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationship with our congregation, providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement as needed by our congregation. Pastor's annual announcement. On Sunday, November the 16th, during morning worship, we will be celebrating our pastor's 8th annual day with Dr. Williams and family. Our special guest will be Reverend John Horton, pastor of the Macedonian Baptist Church in East St. Louis, Illinois. For this day, the colors will be shades of blue. You are invited to stay after service for dinner and fellowship. We are asking for desserts to be provided. If you are able to assist with this, desserts can be brought to the church educational center on the day before the end of the morning service. Pastor's Anniversary Committee, Deacon Eugene Carrier, chairperson, and union ministry leads. I read that one last. We have a couple of thank you cards. Thank you. Kindness is so generous, genuine, that makes a big difference. To the Pastor Williams and the union family, thank you for your cards, your texts, your prayers, and other condolences given at the passing of our family member, Rhoda Darlene Kerr. It was gratefully appreciated. May God bless you all. Phyllis and Eric Collins, Latoya Dutch, Erica Thornton, Akira Carwell, Abra Fowler, and the Thornton family. Our sincere gratitude and warm thoughts. One more thank you card. You are a blessing. Pastor William and Union family, thank you for the love, care, cards, and concern graciously extended to us over the passing of our cherished loved one. Your kindness and your thoughtfulness will long be remembered. We pray God richly bless each of you as you have blessed us. Love, Mother Virginia and Renee Thomas. And the last announcement is the birthday announcement. We would like to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating a birthday in the month of November. Anita Atkins, Alicia Duffy, Beverly Gay, Matthew Pierce, Jennifer Russ, and Pastor U.D. Williams.
Beside the still waters, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I pray that is your testimony today. Even in these dark and uncertain times, we know that the Lord is our shepherd. Therefore, we can celebrate that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad with it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on this morning. Once again, I welcome you into this worship experience here at Union Missionary Baptist Church, and I pray that you are ready to worship with us as we celebrate our good God. Even if you're in the parking lot ministry on this morning, you are invited to worship God with us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we prepare for our opening prayer, which will be the Lord's Prayer, coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And let us read in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. You may remain standing for just a moment. We're going to have our old scripture reading for this morning, which will be coming from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And we will read this in unison. Let us begin. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Let us love God and love one another. Amen. You may be seated as we turn it over into the hands of our praise team. Bless us, y'all. I turn around, you can trust me.
Just want
Existence, Lord God, you've made a way for us. You've kept us through danger, seen and unseen, Lord God, and for that we say thank you. Father God, we can remember today times where we didn't know where our food was coming from, but you were right there, Father God. Father God, we remember that time, dear Lord, that we didn't know how we were going to make ends meet, but you made a meet, oh Lord. Father God, we stand today, Father God, remembering those times when we were in the sick room, Lord God, and we just didn't know how it was going to work out, but you were right there for us, oh God, and for that, we say thank you. Thank you for the love, dear Father, that you not only said you have for us, but you demonstrated this for us, Lord God, by meeting us at our place of need, Father. Oh God, we celebrate today that we have this blessed privilege to come before you, Lord God, and just say thank you. Lord God, in this nation we live, Lord God, many are dreading this month of November that you brought us to, Lord God. And we remember, Lord God, that you brought us through January, and Lord, you brought us through February, and somehow we made it through March, and April and May was all right. And you know where this is going, Lord God, so as we approach this November, we're going to look unto you from which all our help comes, Father God. Oh, Father God, we know you see, dear Father, the anxiety that wells up in our heart, Lord God. We pray that you'll comfort us today. Father God, help us to remember your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Help us to remember that you said you would never leave us or forsake us, Lord God. Father God, we pray for that family, Lord God, who's wondering where their finances are going to be coming from this month, Lord God. We pray that you will touch in a mighty way. Father God, we pray that you will work in us and through us, dear Lord, as believers in Christ, that we might stand boldly together, Lord God, and help meet those needs, dear Father, through your grace and mercy, Lord God. Provide for us. Make a way, Lord God. Father God, for those of us, those who are in the sick rooms, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you will touch in a mighty way, Lord God. There are some right now wondering whether or not their loved ones are going to make it, Lord God. There are some with sicknesses in our own body, Lord God, that's been troubling us for a while. Father God, we pray that you would touch right now, dear Lord, with your hand of mercy and bring healing, bring comfort. Let us know your love, dear Father, has met us here on the day, Lord God, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are with us in our time of need, Father God. For those of us who lost loved ones, dear Lord, in these weeks, dear Lord, in these months, and even on these last 24 hours, Lord God, we pray that you will comfort us, Lord God. We know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So, Lord God, just lead us right now, Lord God. Touch in a mighty way, Father God. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name on all the earth, Lord God. Father, we pray for your blessing on every family that's represented in this place right now, Lord God. We pray that you will bless us, Lord God, and touch us, dear Lord. Provide for us, Lord God, not only physically, dear Lord, but help our minds, Lord God. Help our souls to be strong during this time where this world needs a light to shine, and you called us to be that shining light, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we pray for your blessing on our pastor, Lord God, and his family. We pray that you will just continue to crown his head with wisdom, Lord God, and fill his heart with love, dear Father, and the power of your Holy Spirit, that he may minister to us and to this community in the way that you called him to do so. Oh, Lord, there are many needs represented in this place, Lord God, many more than my feeble lips can utter, Lord God. And we just pray right now that you will meet us, dear Lord. Look upon our hearts, Lord God. Look upon those things that follow those secret prayers that we hold right now, and help us to release them to you, that they may be lifted up, dear Lord, knowing that we have an advocate with the Father. The name is Jesus Christ, and we know that he hears, and we know that he will send, dear Lord, the help that we need. Oh, God, we love you, and we thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to put our petitions before you, Lord God. Oh, we glorify your name today, Lord God. Father, we ask these and all of our blessings in that blessed, mighty name of Christ Jesus. In his name we pray today, Lord God. Let every heart say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated as I will now turn it over to you as our pastor. Oh,
this testimony. Simply says, you brought me out. You brought me. Anybody got that testimony this morning? You've been my friend. Say softly with me, oh, thank you, Lord. In spite of it all, thank you. You know it, clap your hands. Come on now, if you're happy in Jesus. Go ahead and put those hands together in praise of our God. Amen. We are in a season of celebration, a season of thanksgiving. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We praise God. Thank you. Good to see all your beautiful faces here this morning, facing the place. Amen. Amen. Good to see you on this morning. How many know that it is hard to believe that it's November already? Amen. Amen. Time is flying. It is November. We about to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Amen. Amen. God has blessed us, is blessing us, and I'm just looking forward to being in right relationship with Him and the blessings that He has for each and every one of us. Amen. 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 Those who will be attending our men's Christian growth planning session this coming Saturday at 11 a.m., one of the men, and I encourage the involvement of our members and things. One of the men we had a meeting yesterday came up and said, Pastor, can we do some pancakes? And you know I said amen to that. Amen. Amen. He said, what about some bacon? I said, amen. Amen. He said, what about some sausage? I said, that's all right there. Amen. 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 So I know it's last minute, but if any men want to participate in that and help in that, because we got to get it together. But it's all right to have a pancake or two or three or four. Amen. Don't forget about that syrup. Amen. 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 So if you want to assist, and my friend, he's just a contact. He helps me, Brother Jeremiah Kamara. Just let him know that you want to assist this coming Saturday. Amen. Amen. So if you want to get some bacon, sausage, amen, pancake, milk, whatever you want to do, whatever the Lord leads you to bring, amen, amen, just tell Brother Kamara he's working diligently with our men's ministry, and he will get that information to the proper place, amen, Amen. Amen. Y'all ready for a word on this morning? Come on, don't fool me now. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 18 through 20. Let's look at 18 through 20. Chapter 24. Amen. 18 through 20. 2 Kings chapter 24. Verse 18 through 20. That's Old Testament. Amen.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you the center of my joy. Jesus,
for you are,
the center. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to start there at 17th verse. That's 2 Kings chapter 24, 17th verse. 17th verse through the 20th verse. That's 2 Kings chapter 24. We're going to start at that 17th verse of chapter 24. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If y'all sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. I know we have different schedules from different generations. Amen. Going to get up at different times on Sunday morning. You have that desire. You have free will. But if you want to kind of stay where I am, I touch some kind of way that Sunday school lesson every Sunday. So you can just, where is she at? Sister Hastings, where you at? She right there. She the Sunday school leader. See her and she'll make sure you get that curriculum if you want to read the background. She'll get that to you. And I'll get you a book if you need a book. But we want to try to help you there. We understand people have different schedules. And I can only touch so much information in my 30 minutes. Amen. 45 minutes, let me be honest. Amen. 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 But 2 Kings chapter 24. See her and you can get that and you can be reading with me during the week. Amen. And have that background information. 2 Kings chapter 24, starting at verse 17 through verse 20. 17, King James Version, reads as follows. Verse 17, chapter 24. 2 Kings says, "And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamathol, the daughter of Jeremiah Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon." Amen for the reading of God's word. Are y'all ready for this? We want to talk about the blessings of God, but we don't want to talk about the corrections of God. So y'all pray with me today. The title is "The Consequences of Ignoring God's Warnings." The consequences of ignoring God's warnings. The consequences of ignoring God's warnings. Can I ask a question? Please don't answer. If there's some stubborn folk in here, is there anybody in here that just stubborn? Amen. It got quiet. Amen. But we have to look at our personalities and we have to look at ourselves, because brothers and sisters, today we need to discuss this passage of scripture that some cases stubbornness is good, but when it comes to our relationship with God and what God has for us, there's consequences to ignoring God's warnings. And in 2 Kings 24, 18 through 20, this passage highlights that there are tragic, not just consequences, but tragic consequences of ignoring God's warnings and turning away from the guidance of God. As we explore this passage, just these couple of verses, let us open our hearts to the lesson that God wants to impart to us, that we should receive openly, even when it's uncomfortable, even when we feel like we're a failure or less than, by obeying God, that it's better to obey the will of God and do things the way God would have us to do them than to just ignore God's warnings and just be stubborn. The Bible even uses in various passages stiff neck. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 18 through 20, marks the final phase of the kingdom of Judah before the Babylonian exile. And I have to bring this historical information up to you. And please, if you can get that Sunday school book, if you need the background and you can read that during the week, that'll help a preacher out. Amen. So I don't have to go through so much. But help me here is basically what's happened here is that Babylonian nation is coming, and God has told the prophet to tell the people, go ahead and surrender. And what we see in this passage is the people, the officials and the leaders are saying, no, we ain't gonna surrender to nobody. That's not what we gonna do. But God is specifically saying through Jeremiah and giving them a word, go ahead and surrender. God's hand is in this. Do what God has asked you to do. In fact, God is in this because he's teaching the nation a lesson. Just go ahead and surrender. And in these verses, they introduce a king by the name of Zedekiah, who was made king by Nebuchadnezzar. And the king of Babylon, after this was taken into captivity, Zedekiah was 21 years old. Bible says when he began to reign. And he ruled for about 11 years. And in this passage, it emphasizes that Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because he continued in being disobedient like the predecessors were. His rebellion against the nation of Babylon, instead of surrendering like God had directed through the prophet, through the preacher, ultimately led to the downfall of Jerusalem. If Zedekiah, the king, would have just listened to what God said through the prophet, things would have worked out the way they needed to work out. Now, the reason why I'm giving this background and giving the names of all these people is this scripture section here sets the stage for the destruction of the city and the temple. So as a nation, Israel was not what they could be. Those were vital, vital areas and things that made them who they were. But God, because they were disobedient, allowed those things to be destroyed. Highlighting and sharing with each and every one of us the consequences of being persistent and being unfaithful to God. I know this is not a comfortable message. I know it's something that we may not want to hear, but it is the word of God, is that, yes, God is a blessing God. Yes, God is a loving God. But God is also a God who provides discipline in our lives. And if we just continue, or we decide to be disobedient to his will, what he wants, and his way, then my brother and sister, I have to tell you the truth, if nobody else does, there will be consequences. Things that make who you are, Israel, their temple, their kings, things that made them a nation, became no more, or they were under the control of someone else simply because of disobedience. And I'm not saying that because you have bad things happen in your life, it's because of disobedience, but you ought to check yourself when stuff is happening. And the reason why I want to point that out is there's some things in our lives that make us who we are. Our job, our status, what side of town, come on, we live in, what's going on, the car we drive. Yeah, we like coming to church, we love the Lord, but we sure do like every now and then somebody says, ooh, I like your Cadillac. Come on, help me somebody. But I want to just say something. I'm not saying all the time, but if you want to keep your status, if you want to keep who you are in the Lord, then you can't continue to live a life of disobedience or follow the Lord when you want to. As stated in 2 Kings 20, if I've already talked about it, but I got to say it again. In these verses, during the final years of the kingdom of Judah, a time of great political turmoil. Are we in a time of political turmoil? That in this text you can see spiritual decline. Are we in time of spiritual decline? I know I may be the only one to admit it, but the world is affecting the church. The church is not affecting the world. Talk to me, somebody. Not here, but some churches will allow the world to do anything in the church. Amen. Amen. I'm not gonna go there right now because this is not that sermon. But the events occurred during this rise of the Babylonian Empire, where they are going through under King Nebuchadnezzar and they are conquering different nations. And after this first deportation of the Jewish leaders, the elites of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar installed Mattaniah, who is the uncle of the exiled king Jehoiachin. And as the puppet king, did you get what I'm saying? He didn't rule nothing, he was just in position. As the puppet king, Israel had lost their king, their rule. I'm trying to talk somebody. They had lost their rule. He named him Zedekiah. He renamed him. Talk to me. Took his position and renamed him. There are consequences to disobeying God. Talk to me. Y'all can talk. It's just you and me. Not only does somebody take your position, but they change your name. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all put up with that? Y'all correct somebody in a minute if they misspell your name or say your name wrong. Oh, I'm not going to touch that. I got one of them names too. Amen. Amen. But here in the text, Zedekiah's rule was a period marked by increasing pressure from the Babylonian and internal instability. And despite the warnings, God was not silent. God did not ignore Israel. God was involving himself by getting them a message that they were not comfortable with, a message that they did not like. But there was a prophet. There was a preacher by the name of Jeremiah, and Zedekiah eventually rebelled against the control in spite of being told through Jeremiah by God what exactly to do. Then Zedekiah decided he wanted to get somebody else's support. Go to Egypt. Let's go to that nation and get some help. But what did that do? Well, I'm going to talk about me. Sometime I offer my help to people, a direction, even pastor leadership, and they go somewhere else and they do what they want to do. My human side, well, go ahead then. That's what you want. And then you see them, you bump their head and all that kind of stuff. That's how God does. Okay, you want another God? You want another nation? I'm right here. All you have to do is just do what I say. I'll bless you. I'll increase you. I'll open up your windows. I'll pour you out blessings you just won't have room for. Just follow me. Just ask me to be your leader. That's what God says to us. But when we decide to have other gods like our job, our status, ourselves, and other things, then God said, go on ahead with your bad self. If you want your boss to be your God, you want your job, you want your status, you want your friends, your et cetera, then go on ahead. Ooh, he preaching now. I better get back to this. But Jeremiah was urging him to submit to the authority of the Babylon as God appointed the instrument of judgment. Just go ahead and submit to their authority. And Jeremiah consistently told Zedekiah that resistance against Babylon would lead to destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and that surrender would spare the city. He said that over and over again. And its people, if they listened, they would be saved from unnecessary suffering. There's consequences, brothers and sisters, to ignoring God's warnings. One of the key warnings is found in Jeremiah 27. Y'all get that? I know somebody taking notes. Jeremiah 27, you can look at Jeremiah 38 there as well. You can look at these chapters and you can look at that. And in Jeremiah 27, Jeremiah tells Zedekiah that God has given all nations into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that Judah must serve him. That's the problem. And if Zedekiah and the people refuse, they will face death, famine, pestilence. He gave them what the warning was. He just told them, if you surrender, everything will be all right. If you resist, there will be problems. In Jeremiah 38, the prophet personally tells Zedekiah that if he surrenders to the Babylonians, he and his family will live. Check it out, Jeremiah 38. I got to take time today and tell this. Because many times in our situations, you can look in this text, but in our situations, God is speaking, God is sharing, and for whatever the reason, we choose disobedience over obedience, and we're wondering why things are not working out the way they could be working out. Why God only allows us to go so far. He's given us the dream. He's given us the thought. You can be over this. You can have this land. Just look over the mountains. It's yours. But through disobedience, that's all we can do is look over the mountain and see the land instead of dwell in it. And in Jeremiah 38, we see the good example is that if you just do what I say, your families will live. The city will not be burned. But if you refuse, the city will fall and you will not escape. In other words, your war, your soldiers of war, they are not good enough. They are not big enough to overcome God's word and what God says. And Zedekiah fears the consequences and the reaction of his officials more so than the word of God. And we know what happens in this text, as we see, is that ultimately he does not follow Jeremiah's word from the Lord. Jeremiah's message was clear. Obedience to God's will. Even through submission to a foreign power. Obedience to God's will. Even when it means surrender. Obedience to God's will. Even when you have to place your pride aside. Obedience to God's will. Even when you just flat out don't like it. Obedience to God's will was the only way to preserve their identity. And Zedekiah's failure to heed this warning led to a siege and an overtaking of Jerusalem and the beginning of the Babylonian exile that could have been avoided. This rebellion provoked a harsh response from Nebuchadnezzar, who then just said, okay, you don't want to listen to me? Let me show you who I am. I know some folk don't like all this Bible stuff, but this Bible stuff we need to listen to because it'll save you some problems with your stiff-necked self. Because this passage emphasizes that Zedekiah continued the pattern of disobedience to God seen in the previous kings. And one thing about me is the Lord blessed me in the hood, the neighborhood that I raised in. I just happened to be the younger of the bunch. And some things, I'm not saying I was always perfect and made the right decisions, but because my friends always tend to be older than I was, I saw the mistakes they made, so I didn't make them. I'm about to keep it real. I saw my friend coming when I'm talking to him and they talked about child support. I didn't want to pay child support. So I lived a life in such a way where I don't have to pay child support. Help me, somebody. Talking about divorce and got to pay her some money. Amen. Amen. They're a little bit old. Oh, they got quiet on that, Reverend. Got to pay some money and pay for the one you with. And the kids and one that was with that. I didn't want all that stuff. And then my daddy would play a little blues song. The older ones know this one. It's Cheaper to Keep Her. I wanted the cheaper version. Amen? Amen. So I got a woman that can be kept. Because I learned from the mistakes of others. Help me, somebody.
Some of the stuff, they're coming trying to find a job. Well, I wanted to finish school, so I realized that if you finish school, you more than likely can get a job. So what did I do? I finished school. And we see these things in our lives, and we ignore them, and especially the spiritual things. We hear that it's beneficial to be in the Word of God. It's beneficial to have a personal relationship with God. We hear this, and then when we get in trouble, we pop in and out of the church. We pop in and out of the church. We pop in and out of the church. And can I remind you that you are a sheep? The Bible says that you are sheep, and the nature of sheep is a herd animal. And sheep are herd animals. That means they are designed to be in a herd. They were not made by God to defend themselves. They don't have claws. They're not predators. They protect each other by being in a herd. So if you accepted God as your Lord, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are saved, you are like a sheep that needs to be in a herd, and the church is your herd. Have you ever looked at a herd? The herd, those who are weak, those who are vulnerable, those who are young, tend to be in the center and protected by the ones who are on the outside who are stronger. And when you are away from the herd and you are vulnerable through crisis in life and things, that's why you fail and you can't get through and you bump your head on stuff, because you have been designed to be in a herd that will protect you and pray for you and keep you. You are sheep. But for whatever the reason, we disobey that thought. Then we wonder why we fail sometimes. And we see this in this text, that Zedekiah made a mistake. And in this text, it represents leaders who fail to listen, people who fail to listen to what God is saying, and it leads to destruction. Today, I just want to focus. I had to bring that foundation there, and I hope you're patient with me. But today, I want to focus on, number one, the failure of leadership. And we want to put emphasis on leadership, but I also want to touch on, when there's leadership, there's somebody that needs to be led. There's leadership, but you can only lead if somebody follows. And did somebody catch me in a historical background? Is that God, even though the Babylonian nation was coming to destroy Israel, there was people in place that could have been obedient and prevented that, but they did not listen and do what God said do. So then the whole nation was given over to the enemy in such a way that was of destruction and not of salvation. So we talk about leadership, but if people would just listen to what God says and how God says it, and I want to say this, God did not directly talk to the people. God talked through the prophet to the people. In 2 Kings 24 and 18, we see King Zedekiah, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his predecessors had done. His leadership was marked by simple disobedience and simple refusal to heed to the warnings of God through the prophets. If you read Jeremiah, you can see that through in that time of the nation of Israel, that the word of God was there, and the solution for righteousness and salvation was there and present in their daily life. They just were disobedient and refused to follow what God had given them. Now watch this. I would touch this a little bit more in a Bible study, but prophets are individuals chosen by God to deliver his message to the people. And in the Bible, prophets served as God's spokesperson, communicating his will and his warnings and his promises and his guidance. That was the job of the prophet. They often address issues such as idolatry, God don't like. Injustice, God don't like. Unfaithfulness, God doesn't like. Calling the people and their leaders to repentance and obedience, people don't like. And prophets played a key role in both foretelling the future events and foretelling God's truth and what God wants from them. And their message sometimes included predictions of judgment and restoration. But their primary purpose, I got to touch this, of the prophet, because the word of God was there. Their primary purpose was to call people back to right relationship with God. Today, we have preachers who focus on teaching what God has already revealed in the Bible and are led by the Holy Spirit. And some are given gifts of prophecy and give the words, while prophets in the biblical sense were uniquely chosen to review new messages, preachers are just preaching what thus saith the Lord. And even in today's time, even in the church, even leaders, even teachers, even officials of the church act the same way that people did in Jeremiah's time. Is they hear the word, they read the word, they teach the word, but for whatever the reason, they don't follow the word. Those who listen to that message have a choice to obey or not obey. If you obey to God's word and you're obedient to God's word, the blessings of God's word come. But also, if you disobedience, the consequences of being disobedient. King Zedekiah represents leaders who fail to uphold God's standard, leading their people astray. And I want to talk to everybody in here that if you have been called to lead, that's ushering, people see you. If you're singing in the choir, people see you. If you're a deacon, people see you. If you're a trustee, people see you. If you're a preacher, people see you. If you're a pastor, people see you. You have been called to lead. To much is given, much is required. You cannot live how you want to live. You can't let things go. It don't matter who it is, what it is. You have to live it, and you have to obey it, and you have to follow it. Not when it's convenient for you, because consequences will come. I know this ain't popular. There may be a well out there like they threw Jeremiah in. But just like Jeremiah was saved, I'm going to be saved. Matter of fact, I have a party in that well. You know why? Because my God is able to keep me and sustain me. And I ain't afraid of you or nobody when it comes to the word of God. So I'm going to let you know, if you are not leading right, if you are not following God's standard, you ain't got to worry about me. God's consequences will find you sooner or later. You can say what you want to say. You can't pick and choose who you hold accountable. Ooh, help me, somebody. Everybody is under the same standard of God's righteousness. But how do we do this? As believers, we are called to lead by example. Whether it's in our families, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's in our communities, whether it's in church positions, we have to live by example. Nobody told you to take leadership in the church. You didn't have to say yes. But since you say yes, then you say yes to the Christian standard. The pastor shouldn't be the only one living right. The deacon shouldn't be the only one living right. Help me, somebody! Up in here. As believers, we have been called to lead by example. Lay it aside. If you can't lay it aside, then don't take the position. Let us strive to be leaders who seek God's wisdom and align with our actions and God's will. If you're going to show favoritism, don't lead. If you're not going to let the word of God be your guide, then don't lead. You don't have to say yes. God will raise somebody else up. It don't have to be you. I know there's folk in here that love me. And if I died right now, somebody will cry. Y'all have a funeral? There'll be some fried chicken, scalloped potatoes, greens, Kool-Aid. Y'all tell some stories. But y'all open up the pulpit and look for another pastor. Help me, somebody. There's somebody that will come right behind U.D. Williams. Amen? God will raise somebody up. Amen. So now that I done messed with you. While failure of leadership is evident in Zedekiah's reign, it also sets the stage for understanding the certainty of God's judgment. Is the certainty of God's judgment is the next thing. Y'all give me time today because I got to touch it. Is the passage reveals that there's a certainty of God's judgment. The passage reveals that because of the evil done by Zedekiah and his predecessors, God was angry with Jerusalem and Judah. And despite numerous warnings, the people continued in their sinful ways, ultimately leading to God's judgment. You can only live in disobedience to the message of God for so long. You can get by, but you ain't gonna get away. They know exactly where you are. I scratch my head. Every now and then, maybe you've read an article like this, that somebody was released from prison or wasn't picked up for prison or whatever the case may be to serve their time because somebody didn't do the right paperwork or something. And then when somebody found the paperwork, it may be 10, 15 years later. They go pick them up and they still got to serve their time. It may have been 10, 15, 20 years later, but they still going to pick them up. Y'all getting quiet up in here. Maybe because we're talking about judgment. The person may have thought, well, they forgot. So I forgot. But it may be 15, 20 years later. They still going to go pick them up. When they least expect it, you still got to serve your time. And I want to let you know that the consequences will come and run their course in God's time. You may get by, but you ain't going to get away. God's judgment is not random or by chance, but a response to persistence in your disobedience and your sin. It serves as a reminder that God is just, He is righteous, and His patience through abundant love is not limitless. There is a time where God's patience runs out. There is time where God says, enough is enough. I'm your pastor, I love you, but you ain't got to worry about me getting mad, and many of you don't care if I get mad. But when God get mad, when God done had enough, then that's when you got to face it. Romans 2, 5, and 6, just in case y'all think I'm making this up, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. Romans 2, 5, and 6. When His righteous judgment will be revealed, God will repay each person according to what they have done. Hebrews 9, 27. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, since you're already looking at me funny, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What I'm trying to tell you, you're going to answer for how you treat folk. You're going to answer for how you didn't treat people. Folk you done ran away, you're going to answer for that. Stuff that you done forgot about, there is a day of judgment. And you're going to be reminded. We must take God's warnings seriously and examine our lives for areas of disobedience. Repent and turn back to God, knowing that His desire is for us to live in righteousness and avoid the consequences of sin. Actually, this sermon is not to condemn, but this is because I love you. And this message is because God loves you. It's because, yes, we all sin and fall short. Yes, there is a certainty of judgment. And yes, there is failure in our leadership, in our call. And we can't take advantage of that. But can I let you know there's hope for redemption? That even though we've messed up, God is willing to clean us up. Even though we have shortcomings, God covers us. Although the passage focuses on judgment, the broader story of the scripture reveals that God's plan is for redemption. He wants you to live right. He wants you to be His child. Despite the fall of Jerusalem, God had a plan to restore His people through the future generations. All they had to do is listen. God did not want to punish them, but because they decided disobedience, they had to deal with the things that come along with disobedience. So if you choose disobedience, it's not God, it's you. You are choosing the things that come along with disobedience. But if you choose obedience, you are choosing the things that come along with obedience. God's heart is always for redemption. His judgment serves as a way to bring you back to him. The exile in our text was not the end for Israel. It was a step towards greater restoration. God wasn't done with Israel, but he had to let them go through some things for them to see that God loved them so much. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you so much that he gave you the opportunity to have redemption through Jesus. Romans 5:8, I know somebody knows this, but God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God wants righteousness for you. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. So even though there's consequences to ignoring the warnings of God, yes, God is a God of judgment. God is also a God of redemption. He's a God who loves. But we have to choose obedience, just like we choose to be disobedient. If we want the consequences and the things that go along with disobedience, then be disobedient. But if you want the things and the love of God comes along with obedience, then choose obedience. In our lives, we may face consequences for our actions, but what I'm saying is that God offers each and every one of us hope and redemption through Jesus Christ. No matter how far we have strayed, his grace is sufficient to restore us and use us for his purpose. But don't just say, "Oh, God forgives me." If you done hurt somebody, you need to make it right with that person. If you done ran somebody out the church, you need to make it right with that person you done ran out. If you done called disorder, you need to make it right. Because if you don't make it right, you're going to answer for it at some point. Whatever you have done, your deed, you will answer to what God's righteousness says. So in conclusion, as we reflect on this passage, let us remember the importance of heeding to God's warnings. Even this message, is it going to change anything? Is it going to change how you look at your sin? Is it going to change how you look at God's love? Because there is a certainty of his judgment. There is a hope of his redemption. There is a failure in us, but God offers us love. May we be the leaders and the disciples and the believers who align God's will and our will with God's will. Let us be individuals who repent and turn back to God, and believers who embrace the redemption found in Christ. No, we're not in Jeremiah's time, but we're dealing with the same issues. There's rebellion in leadership. But let's do more than complain. Let's make a difference by being a light in this world of darkness. Let us do what's right. Let us live in a righteous way. And let us do what God has called us to do. And that's encourage ourselves and others to grow and nurture in our relationship with God through Christ Jesus. My friend, I don't know if you know Jesus, but he is the Son of God. He died for you and for me.
He died because of sin, which means missing the mark. All of us miss the mark in our flesh. We can't be right with God in our flesh because we have a presence of sin. We miss the mark. But if we want to restore our relationship with God, if we want to be right with God and live in a life of obedience, we have to start by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord, our ruler, our King, and our Savior. Is there one, my brother, is there one, my sister, on today that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Is there one today? You can raise your hand or you come down if there's one. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Is there one today that's not accepted Jesus Christ? You can come on today. You'll be a candidate for baptism. Is there one on today? Is there one that's not connected with the church, but you would like to be connected with the church? Is there one on today? You can come. You can raise your hand. You'll be coming by letter, Christian Experience. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You would like to connect with this body of believers? Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? On today. Give your life to Jesus or connect with this body of believers. Is there one? Is there one? We see there's none, but still there's room in the kingdom of God. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. Remember, there is consequences through ignoring God's warnings and word. But God has hope through Christ Jesus. If we accept Jesus Christ, love God, love others, as a result of that salvation, we will have a restoration, restored relationship with God. Amen. We're about to go into our communion, our breaking of the bread. Is there one who has not been served? You do not have your elements. The bread, fruit of the vine, grape juice. Is there one? Is there anyone that has not been served? Everyone has been served. Amen. The deacons will please come forward.
Received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. God's word. God's word.
Thank you for the reading of God's word. As we listen to God's word, we have been instructed. Let us focus in on Calvary. Let us focus in on the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection and the power that comes through the resurrection. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Lord, we know your Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And sometimes we're on both sides. But you look beyond our faults. You see our needs. And as we come before you and doing this in remembrance of you, we say thank you for salvation. We say thank you for grace. We say thank you for mercy. In spite of our blemishes, in spite of our wrong choices, in spite of our brokenness, you've loved us beyond ourselves. And for that, we say thank you, Lord. So we do this in remembrance of you. In your name, because of your sacrifice, we pray. Amen. Let us partake of the wafer that represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the vine represents the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us partake together. Amen. Doing this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of many. As the disciples left, they went to the Mount of Olives. We do not have a Mount of Olives to go through in our community or in our locale, but we do have our homes. We do have our schools. We have our places to go. Sharing the story, the redemption story of Jesus Christ. Let us stand together. The blood weigh my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is that love that makes me white as snow? No other help I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that love that makes me white as snow? No help I know. Nothing but the blood. Today, go in God's fellowship. Go in God's love. May God keep you and bless you. Amen. You are dismissed.